Welcome to Postcast tonight. The Utah Jazz have just stunned the San Antonio Spurs and us, frankly, for that matter, as the Jazz win it 120-111 in San Antonio. Let me set what the scene was before the night started. The Jazz were playing a back end of a back-to-back. ESPN and Baxter Holmes have a scheduling thing that ranks when the games are too, really just kind of the schedule bites you. This was rated an 8 on their scale of 1 to 10. And in those games, I think they're at about 75% that the scheduling team loses. Then we got word, you add on the plane flight, in which the Jazz arrived last night at 5:25 or so, got to the hotel about 5:45. Then you got the word that Donovan Mitchell had the flu and was not going to be able to play tonight. I don't know what the chances were that the Jazz were going to win this game, but I'm sure glad we're not allowed to gamble on the NBA because my mortgage would suddenly be in trouble. I mean, there was no way tonight.
Who would have thought that Rubio, now just think about, go back to the beginning of the year and think about the thoughts and the comments and the things that have followed him as far as his game is concerned, was going to be so dominant against the San Antonio Spurs. But what a first half. First half, he ended up, we had a couple of threes there. What did he have?
He hit his first 10 shots of the night and finished with 34 points, 3 rebounds, and 9 assists.
14 of those coming in the first quarter. I mean, he just really got off to a good start. Just picking up where he left off against the Golden State Warriors and the Phoenix Suns. Really getting a great start in the beginning of the basketball game and just control. He controlled the dribble penetration, I think, and the way he gets into the paint, keeps his dribble alive, and making play, making his teammates better, which is what he should be doing.
Jazz win it, and the other story of the night, and really we probably should stay on Rubio. Let's stay on Rubio for a second before you do. I'm on this, and I think you partially agree with me. I think I'm probably overplaying it a little bit. But I think his whole game is predicated on these layups he's making. He is came into the game having made 9 of 14. I think he was 3 of 4 tonight. And when he makes the layups, Ricky Rubio, one, he drives the basket with more authority. Two, it makes his pick-and-roll game more potent. When he's not making the layups, he's then curling out on that pick-and-roll with no intention going to the restricted area, and guys are dropping back on the big. In the open floor, he drew fouls tonight. He went to the free throw line 10 times tonight, which has been the difference between him last year and this year, is the fact that he didn't go to the line at all for the Jazz, and so he's become less efficient. So I think that really, I think this ability to make layups, which he's worked so hard on, he's changed his layup stroke, if that makes sense, is absolutely transforming who he is as a player.
Well, you're making a believer out of me, too. We talked about all season long about his ability to get there to make layups. He wasn't making them. Now he's shooting a lot of layups, and as Joe Ingles does, off-rhythm type layups, off the wrong foot, really freezes the defender because he's waiting for you to take that extra step with the left foot in order to put the ball up above the rim with the right hand. But he's doing that off the right leg, and it's really freeing him to the point where he can get that. It's almost an uncontested layup. Joe Ingles does it as well. And I don't know if he's practicing that because they've seen Joe Ingles do it, but whatever he's doing, continue doing it because he is really doing a great job at it.
Here's what excites me about what's going on with Ricky Rubio right now. There was a stretch like this earlier this year where he was really, really good shooting the basketball. But it was shooting.
Yes.
And there was enough of a track record historically to say, you know what, he's not just going to change his shooting overnight. And so you kind of knew that there was a real chance that this might be somewhat of fool's gold. This, to me, feels different because there's a fundamental change in his game, which is this layup making, which he was at 47%. He's now making it. And, I mean, I just thought there was a play tonight in the open floor in transition where he attacked, where earlier this year he's been curling out because, you know, he didn't want to take that layup. So I actually think there's a chance that some of what we're seeing with Rubio, not 34 points, 9 rebounds, not assists, not 25, 5, and 10 like he had the other night. I mean, but there's a level where I think some of this is sustainable because of this transition.
I don't think there's any doubt it's sustainable. From what I'm seeing now, I mean, this is probably the pace that he likes to play at. I mean, he's controlling the basketball a lot more now, and I think Quinn may be giving him the freedom to do just that. Just think about how much he's whenever he's breaking the paint, how much he keeps the ball in his hands until he's ready to pass. And I think that's such a huge asset that you can have in getting the ball to the open man, because you keep your dribble alive. The defender has to respect to the point that you're not searching anymore. And, you know, as a result, just think about that third period. Was it the fourth period where that skip pass all of a sudden became an asset for the Jazz because of the way that they were defending him, strictly because he was keeping the dribble alive?
Well, and that nicely leads into the next part of this, is that Royce O'Neal closed the game tonight, and those skip passes found Royce O'Neal for two corner threes. And then with the Jazz on the ropes, the Spurs, the number one clutch team in the league, had worked their way back to a 112-109 game. It had gotten down to 1 point at 110-109, and Rubio made two free throws. Spurs answered to make it 112-109, and then Royce O'Neal jumped a passing lane above the free throw line for a catastrophic Spurs turnover, took it the length of the floor with Ginobili trailing. He just packed it with the right hand, and it was the play of the night.
Spurs, as you mentioned, don't turn it over that often. They had 12 tonight. Now, that is awesome. But they gave up 20 points off of those turnovers, and one of those was the huge play that was made there by Royce O'Neal, who took it in very, very strong. So I'm very impressed with the Jazz offense right now. Obviously, the defense has been just tremendous, even though the San Antonio Spurs did have a great field goal percentage here tonight. But they didn't shoot below 56% in any quarter tonight. And just think about those. That's excellent. That's great basketball. Probably a very exciting basketball there as well.
By the way, this was an offensive win tonight. The defense actually never plugged in. If you look at the ratings numbers on this one, it's a little surprising. The Jazz had a very poor defensive night. The Spurs offensive rating was 114, which would be best in the league. The Jazz offense was stunningly good. A 124 rating against the Spurs, who are the number one defense in the NBA. So that's really very, very surprising to see that. Donovan Mitchell does not play tonight due to the flu, and the Jazz put it together. The other one I wanted to point out, Derek Favors has just been really, really good. And Favors and Gobert are kind of figuring out a little bit of a way to play together better than they have all year. The two of them combined tonight, 25 points, 16 rebounds, 4 assists. It's a good matchup with Gasol and Aldridge. Spurs tried to space him out with Bertans. He's just not good enough to do that to him. And there's just a tip of the hat to both those guys, because they're having huge impacts on games.
And hopefully that continues, because sooner or later they had to figure something out, something was going to happen as far as breaking them up. But yeah, it's big when you have two bigs like that that can't play together, especially when one of them is not a threat shooting the three-point shot. So Quinn is finding a way to make it happen. Derek Favors is obviously responding to it. Rudy is the biggest key, and you know that. You talk about it a lot as far as the Jazz defense. But Derek Favors says he's doing a pretty good job there as well.
Number two defensive team in the league, and the Jazz torch them. On the road, tired, with bad travel. It makes no sense at all. But frankly, nor does Ricky Rubio, going 11 of 14 for 34 points. We'll take it. We'll go home with it. 5 wins in a row. We actually won't go home. We'll go to New Orleans, which is a big game. And then we're heading to Memphis, and we'll see if the Jazz can keep this up. They've won 5 in a row, and there's got to be excitement in Jazzland. This has been Postcast. Thanks for tuning in tonight on Locked On Jazz, as the Jazz win it. Final score is a lot to a little, actually, by the end, but I don't have anything that shows me that right around here. 120 to 111 was the final. Have a good night and be safe.